We are live on The Circle in downtown Indianapolis. Welcome into Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. The Pacers have won a couple in a row. That includes last night. They were out on the road in Orlando. The Pacers took care of the Magic 111-106, a game that Indiana led by 15 points in the second half. The Pacers led by 10 with a couple minutes to go and were able to earn a 5-point victory. That comes after Wednesday's game, where the Pacers beat Minnesota 141-137. That game, the Pacers scored more points than they have in over a decade. The last time they had scored as many as 141, you have to go back to 2010, a game against Denver, where Indiana had 144. So about 11 years since that's happened, and it was the fourth most combined points ever scored in a Pacers NBA game in franchise history, in a regular season game in franchise history. And Indiana now has won two in a row. That game against Orlando last night started a stretch of four or five on the road, including two straight games away from Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And Aaron Holiday was terrific again. He had a season-high 22 points on Wednesday night. He followed that up with 20 points last night. Holiday hit his first 4 3-pointers. He hit all 4 3-pointers he took on Wednesday night. So at one point had hit 8 straight from beyond the arc. And kind of an interesting game because the Pacers get Brogdon back. They get Sabonis back. Sabonis had missed 3 straight. Brogdon missed 4 straight with an injury. Yet the two leading scorers still came off the bench. That was Aaron Holiday's 20 and Doug McDermott's 19. McDermott hit 1-3, but hit 8 shots overall, a couple of free throws. It's been McDermott's best year as a pro, and he continues to have success. A game where Orlando actually ended up outshooting the Pacers by percentages. They were 42, the Pacers were 41. But Indiana did a nice job in the turnover margin. They forced 15 turnovers, and the Pacers, who led by 13 at the half, held on for that 111-106 win. So Indiana is now 24-27 on the season. That's a game out of eighth. It's 2 games out of seventh, and it's 3 games out of fourth. And one of the teams that they are chasing is Charlotte, who is currently in fourth. They're without Gordon Hayward, LaMelo Ball. So point here is that the opportunity is ripe if Indiana could rattle off some wins to start making some headway in those standings. Things are still remarkably closely contested. Now, worth noting, they do have Chicago right behind them, who's in contention for all of this as well. Chicago's currently 2 games behind the Pacers. They dropped a game last night to Atlanta, a game where Zach LaVine had 39 points at the half, but Chicago loses that one. A key win for Atlanta, a tough loss for Chicago. For the Pacers, we're now 51 games in, so we have just 21 remaining, about 5 weeks left in the season, kind of that in-between point where there's still time to do what you want to do, but each week there's less and less time to do it, and when we talk to you next week, we will be within a month's time away from the regular season coming to an end. Still plenty of chances to catch your Pacers in person. The next opportunity, actually a really good one, it's on Tuesday. That's against the Los Angeles Clippers. And by the way, this game is on TNT. It's the one game that you will not be able to watch on Bally Sports Indiana. But we would love to have you in person. Pacers.com/tickets. Socially distant and health and safety protocol compliant tickets are available at Pacers.com/tickets for that one. The Pacers have a game before it, though. That's on Sunday at Memphis. If you've been tuning in, Mark Boyle retakes the microphone for that game. He has been in the COVID protocols, but tested negative, feeling well, and will be back with us starting on Sunday night, tomorrow night. 7:30 is when the Kroger pregame show begins, and Pacers at Memphis Grizzlies will tip off shortly after 8 o'clock. Then 3 more on the road after that. The Pacers are on this stretch here of actually what is 5 of 6 on the road. They then return home for 5 of 6. And that's really the story for the Pacers as they look to accomplish their goals this season. Indiana's now 15-12 on the road. That's really impressive. In fact, it's a better winning percentage on the road than they had last year when they were on pace to win 50 games if they played 82. The struggle's been at home. The Pacers are 9-15 in their own building. Indiana has 31 consecutive seasons with a winning home record, and that is in jeopardy. So Indiana has done everything they've wanted to this year on the road. They've been very good away from home. Their questions remain in Bankers Life Fieldhouse, which, of course, home court advantage is not what it typically is without having all of you in a packed Bankers Life Fieldhouse. But Indiana, if they can figure out their struggles at home, I think stands a really good chance to close out the season strong and perhaps be playing their best ball of the season once we hit the playoffs. This is Pacers Weekly. It's presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. We've got a busy show coming up for you, as we always do. Jeremiah Johnson will be joining us live. Eddie White goes around the house. We will hear from Mark Boyle as well. He is with Pacers head coach Nate Bjorkgren. That will be momentarily. We're also going to hear from Pete Pranica. He is the radio, or the television play-by-play announcer for the Memphis Grizzlies. Get the visiting coach's perspective coming up a little bit later in the show. We're also going to hear from TJ McConnell and Nate Bjorkgren, fresh off that win last night, and that's what you are going to hear next. We'd love to hear from you as well. 317-239-1070. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. We'll get some reaction right after last night's win, right after the break. This is Pacers Weekly, and it's presented by PetSmart. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. Pacers and Grizzlies tomorrow night. That game is in Memphis. Would love to have you along for the ride on the radio side at 7:30 is when we begin with the Kroger pregame show. Bally Sports Indiana, Jeremiah Johnson, 7:30 as well on the television coverage. The Pacers won last night. That was over the Orlando Magic. It was in Orlando. The top two scorers come off the bench, including Doug McDermott, and he explains where that second unit got their fuel.
Yeah, it's just kind of been a next man up mentality. You know, I think, coach gives us all opportunities off the bench. And, you know, when we have a guy rolling like Aaron was tonight, you know, we stuck with him and, you know, he kept shooting. And, you know, he's been incredible these last two games. So credit to Aaron. He's been working his tail off all year. And you know, no one deserves it more. I think at times I'm respected as a shooter, where I just feel like I can get some easy cuts just because of how they defend me at times, you know, cause they're always trailing me coming up pin down. So, instead of forcing up a tough three, which might be, a good shot, you know, I think I can show, I've shown that I can get to the rim and get a basket that way. So kind of depends on the night. You know, when they have really good shot blockers, maybe I'll, you know, shoot some more threes from the top. But I think a lot of times I have a guy on my back and I feel like I can get to the rim really easy. So definitely haven't shot as well as I have past few years this year. But it's one of those deals where I'm going to keep shooting and keep cutting. And, you know, hopefully it leads to wins.
You guys started the year with three straight wins and haven't been able to do it since, but you've got another opportunity here coming up on Sunday. What in the last two games would you like to see carry over? And what's the key to being able to see, consistently string together wins in the later portion of the season here?
Yeah, I think we just got to, you know, we can't get too high on ourselves. We can't get too low on ourselves, but we know we have an opportunity ahead of here that, you know, we can get hot. We got our guys healthy. We got right on Miles, obviously. But, you know, we're finally kind of trending towards being healthier. And we knew coming after the All-Star break, we had a really tough stretch there. And, you know, we're going to be at home a little bit more here at the end of the year. And we have some games we can win. So we just got to take it day by day and, you know, just continue to fight because we know what those standings are looking like.
That's Doug McDermott, who's enjoying a career year in points, in assists, in rebounds. But he said about a month ago he didn't feel like it was a career season because at that point his three-point shooting wasn't quite up to its typical standards. And while he's still a little bit below his career averages, his three-point shooting now up to 39%, starting to shoot it very well, over right around 45% over his last eight games. And McDermott really starting to round into form for Indiana as they have been shorthanded. It's been much needed with strong play off the bench. The defense has also been improved, at least as of last night. The Pacers held Orlando to 106. Here's head coach Nate Bjorkgren after the game.
Well, you know, I thought, you know, they got a little bit loose on us there late in the fourth, you know, with Ross getting to the rim a little bit because we were, you know, really being aggressive, trying to take away those threes late. You know, they got us on a couple slips and then just kind of turning the corner out of the trap. But I thought overall, I thought we were, you know, fighting hard on the glass. I think it was, what was it, a one rebound game there, differential. I like the communication throughout. You know, it was very good to have Malcolm and Domas back. And again, the bench, you know, the bench put together a pretty good string of stops there during that game. And, you know, Aaron Holiday and Doug, you know, made some shots once we got to run out.
Is there anything specific that you feel like has enabled Aaron Holiday to play so well the last week or so?
Well, they're getting out and running, and he's good when he's out there, you know, playing free, playing with some space. You know, the way that second unit and they'll throw that thing ahead and push it ahead and they really run the floor. It gets the opponent on their heels a little bit. So I just think that initial force on offense, and the guys are setting good screens for him too. And they're finding him, you know, they're finding him on paint touches and kickouts. So, and Aaron, he does a good job of reading the passer or the vision of the passer to get right into that window for his shot. Yeah, he's out there playing with confidence. You're right. He's making the most of it. He is. He can hit that 3-point shot. He can shoot it from deep. But what I like is the way he's running and running the floor. And then he's good when he's in the paint. I think, you know, he had a couple in there in the paint that were close calls. I thought, you know, maybe I'll go look at it. But I thought he got a hit on a couple of those, you know, where he was trying to kick out and make the right play himself. But he just looks good out there.
That's Indiana Pacers head coach Nate Bjorkgren. He chimes in a couple of times on this show. In fact, right after the break, that was his reaction immediately after the game. But nearly every single week, Mark Boyle has a virtual sit-down with the head coach Nate Bjorkgren and discusses the topics of the week at length. And when we return, we will hear that conversation with the Pacers radio play-by-play announcer and Indiana's head coach. That's next. This is Pacers Weekly. It's presented by PetSmart. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. Pet adoption changes lives, yours and theirs. PetSmart has helped 9 million animals find their forever homes. The Pacers are 24-27. They are in a battle in the Eastern Conference right now that would have them in the play-in tournament, but things are so tightly contested. Just 3 games separate 4-9, and Chicago right behind Indiana is in the mix as well. Plenty of topics this week for play-by-play announcer Mark Boyle with the head coach, Nate Bjorkgren.
Thank you, Pat. A very interesting week since we last spoke, Nate. A lot of, I don't know if I'd say surprising developments, but definitely very interesting and a little bit out of the box. And by that, I mean this specifically. You had 2 games where you scored in excess of 135 points, even in both cases. You were without several of your key players. Now, we always talk about a 17-man roster and the next guy up and all of that, but more often than not, that's more of a concept rather than actual reality. But in this case, your guys who hadn't been playing much really came through. How was it that guys who hadn't played much or had much of an opportunity to play in the crucial parts of games were so successful in that San Antonio game and then later in the Minnesota game?
Yeah, it was big. You know, big for those guys, Aaron Holiday and Jakarr Sampson, you know, Jeremy Lamb, you know, a number of guys. Goga had a lot more minutes. You know, there was a number of players there. Keelan Martin got in the game, you know, a couple times and had good minutes, very good minutes while he was in there. You know, those guys have stayed ready. They've stayed ready throughout the course of this season. Even when they weren't playing, their conditioning level has always been great. Our player development with those guys and continue to get them into the work that they need, that's really important. But the credit goes to them. The credit goes to those players that haven't played very much to mentally hang in there, to physically to stay ready. And they got in there and they performed. And they made big plays on defense and hit big shots. So the credit goes to the players.
I find that an interesting distinction because I don't want to minimize staying in shape and being in condition and all of that, but that's what they do for a living. It's their profession. The mental part of it, though, I find more interesting. How, in your experience, do players stay mentally ready to do it? Because some guys can be physically ready, as you know, Nate, but mentally they're not able to step in there and do that.
Right. That's what they do a good job of is staying positive, always staying ready. You know, because they know I'm going to call on them. They know it. Their time's going to come back around. But also they do a good job of staying engaged in the huddles, you know, in timeout situations, in film sessions, in practice. It's just constantly keeping your mind in the game, not letting your mind drift away, because, you know, as the season moves on, you know, there's lots of different things. There's different feels out of timeouts and different things you're trying to do on offense and defense. So it's really important to stay in tune, you know, with what currently is going on.
Now, T.J. Warren's out for the season, but the rest of these guys will work their way back in, we think, sooner rather than later. Have you seen anything since you've had the injuries from these guys that we're talking about that would make you rethink their place in the rotation as other guys come back?
Well, every player is always striving to be out there on the floor. So what I have found out and what we knew, I mean, guys like Aaron Holiday and Edmund Sumner, they've started games early in the year. Then they didn't play for a while. You know, there's plenty of capable players on this team. You know, when we get those guys back, like Malcolm and Domas and Miles, you know, some minutes will be less for some guys, but also at the same time, you never know. Guy gets in there and performs and he's playing well, I'm going to keep playing him. You know, I want to keep playing, ride the hot hand, and the group and the unit, the five guys that are out there on the floor playing well, I want to ride that group as long as we can if they're playing well.
We're not at the finish line yet, but we're getting close enough that you can kind of see it, and teams are jockeying for position in the standings and so forth. Now, I think this is about the time of the year where fans and media start to pay attention to the standings and who's doing what and tiebreakers and all of that. Are you a standings watcher?
No, I mean, I'm aware of it, yes. And we talk about it once in a while. We don't talk about it every single day, you know, or every single team meeting. But what we do talk about is playing the best that we can in the next game ahead of us. You know, we always just want to put all of our focus on our next opponent. You know, a win is a win. So, you know, you do your job and win the game that night, it's definitely going to move you up in the standings or put you in better position. So we know where we sit. We know what we have to do, but the focus is always on the next opponent coming at us.
Pacers coach Nate Bjorkman, kind enough to spend some time with us on a Saturday morning, as he does here on Pacers Weekly during the regular season. The Pacers' next assignment, a challenging game in Memphis against the Grizzlies, who have been playing quite well lately. That's on Sunday night. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's go back to our studio and Pat Boylan.
All right, Mark and Nate, thank you. We appreciate Nate Bjorkman for joining us nearly every single week here on Pacers Weekly. The Memphis Grizzlies, by the way, they are coming off a loss against the Knicks. However, they've been playing well overall. They've won 4 of 5 and enter in this game kind of where the Pacers stand, in that they are in the mix for those final couple playoff spots, although remember, it's the play-in tournament this year, so 7, 8, 9, and 10 will all be a part of that play-in tournament. However, there's great value, especially if you can get up to 7. Essentially, how that works is 7 plays 8, 9 plays 10. The loser of 9-10 is out. The winner of 7-8 is locked in, and then the loser of 7-8 plays the winner of 9-10 for that final playoff spot. So, bottom line, if you are 7 or 8, you have 2 games to win 1 to make the playoffs. If you are 9 or 10, you have to win both games to make the playoffs. So, not all positions in that are created equal, and the higher-seeded team has home court as well. So, there is a lot of value, for example, in being 7 versus 9. So, those last couple of spots in the playoffs probably have more meaning than perhaps they ever have in the NBA. Memphis is 26-24. That's who the Pacers will take on next. We're going to talk a little bit later with their television play-by-play announcer, Pete Pranica. When we return, though, we're going around the house with Eddie White. This is Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. Each week, Eddie White goes around the house, finds somebody with an interesting story to tell. And a shout-out to Eddie, by the way, who, as Mark Boyle was in the COVID protocol, stepped in on pregame, halftime, postgame show coverage and did a nice job. We thank Eddie certainly for doing that. And we also appreciate his contributions to this show, where he finds somebody around Bankers Life Fieldhouse, sometimes the city of Indianapolis, with an interesting story to tell. It's certainly been an interesting year for those who work around our suites and Bankers Life Fieldhouse game nights. We go around the house this morning with Eddie White.
Thanks, Patrick. It is once again time to go around the house. And I've been trying to get this lady to come on. You know, we just had this stretch this past Wednesday where we finished up 43 basketball games in 40 days. And I watched this lady. She's running around like all 40 days, like the road runner. Her name is Megan Banks, and she's running around like crazy. And I had to stop her because she's one of our bright, shining stars here at Pacers Sports Entertainment. I always screw up her title. She's like a premium something. What the hell's your title?
Premium Experience Manager.
And what does a Premium Experience Manager do?
So I help manage our licensed suite accounts as well as the Lexus Loft.
Okay. Now let's get into the premium here because that's like fancy schmancy. You have these two brand new clubs. Everybody knows about the Field House of the Future. We just had the phase one done. We're just starting phase two, and it's going to be unbelievable. But part of the phase one is these two fancy schmancy clubs. Now, the one is like, I think it's the Points Bet. It's like a sports bar, and like you got bleachers up at like the ceiling.
It is. So Points Bet Hardwood Club, it is an exclusive space for some of our season ticket holders that have tickets in that area. Like you mentioned, it does have a pretty heavy Indiana basketball feel to it. So photos are around the space of well-known Indiana basketball gyms. Like you said, there's bleachers on the backside of the chairs. And then the court for Market Square Arena is actually the backdrop of the photo, the video board that's in that space. So really cool concept there.
Some of those pictures, they're some of them aren't well known. I mean, you could spend a day looking at just the black and white pictures of old historic Indiana basketball iconic gyms and stuff.
Yep, absolutely. We've had several people go through for tours, and many people can kind of just look at the photos without reading the descriptions and list off which gym is which.
And then right across on the other side of the court, you have this club. You walk in there, and it's like, first of all, it reminds you of like a cool old, like a speakeasy. I would love to light up a cigar and hang out, but you can't smoke in there. But boom, you have you have this thing on the mirror, like the writing of Bobby Slick Leonard. And it's almost a tribute to the old Pacers.
Absolutely. So there's also mosaic tile. So of two photos from the State Fairgrounds pays homage to the start of the Pacers. There's photo of some of the ABA players that were around in 67. So like you said, speakeasy feel, a little bit more upscale than I would say the Points Bet Hardwood Club, but both provide a unique opportunity and experience when you're here at the Field House.
They're so uniquely different, but they're both like phenomenal. It's like having a choice between a Mercedes and a BMW. Either one is phenomenal. And anyone listening to us, I encourage them, come down and get a tour and check them out. Depending on your liking, you're going to love one or the other or both. Then the suites. You redid the suites on the lower level. And just when we had the NCAA games here, it was one of those days we had three games. I was starving. So I came down to the suite. I went into the Corteva suite. I stole a hot dog. And you got like, it's like the creme de la creme. You can put your phone down, it charges. You have totally revamped the suites.
Yeah, so all of our key bank level, which are our lower level suites, were updated in this phase of renovations as well. As you mentioned, all the small details were thought of. So much more comfortable, a little bit larger seats that are bowl facing. And then hopefully very soon, post-COVID, there's more communal space. Guests will be able to kind of stand up, mingle, and engage with each other. There's three large TVs, so easy access to the game that's happening here in the Field House, or the ability to watch other events that are happening outside of the Field House. And then, as you also mentioned, the phone chargers. So everyone, you know, loves to be able to charge up wherever they are without having to carry around a cord anymore.
So hopefully we get through this COVID thing and people can back in, we can fill the place. But people listening to us that you know, people have come back in limited numbers to see the Pacers, if they're listening and they hear this, they want to see it, they could call and they can come in and get a tour and take a look at the places that we're talking about.
Yep, absolutely. We are in the process of getting ready to start reseating all of our current season ticket holders, and then we'll have an opportunity to, of course, sell to new clients. So we'd be more than happy to show folks around the Field House and have them take a look at the renovations.
Now, I mentioned you're one of my favorite people. You're like one of our bright, young, shining stars. How did you get here? Where did you come from?
So I'm from Indianapolis.
What high school?
Lawrence Central. Okay. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
So I also went to IUPUI for undergrad. My degree is in tourism, conventions, and event management. So I had the opportunity to intern here with the Pacers during undergrad with the group sales department. Graduated from college, got some experience in the event and hospitality industry, and then had the opportunity to come back full time.
So for young people listening, there's two things there. You had a degree that fits absolutely perfect for what you're doing right now, and you parlayed an internship into a career here. It's kind of like a tip of the cap to how we do the internships here, and for somebody in our building to see that there's this talented intern who was worthy of a full-time hire.
Absolutely. It was exciting to be able to come back.
I really appreciate you taking some time to spend with us today because I know how busy you are. You're always running. Do you wear sneakers when you run around this joint?
Sometimes.
Yeah, because you have to, right? We got a lot of stuff going on.
Yes, for sure.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Patrick, she's one of the young, bright, shining stars. How about that? Homegrown. Indiana High School, Indiana College, and boom, worker for Indiana's professional basketball teams. I tell you, this field house of the future is unbelievable, and you got to check these clubs out. Patrick, if I could get a condo maybe in a corner of that 67 club, I think Boyle and I can just live there. Back to you, buddy.
All right, Eddie, thank you. And certainly thank you to Megan. She does a terrific job. Her whole group does as well. And as those two were discussing, you know, one of those things they did such a good job of describing it, but pictures really do a better service to just how impressive this new area looks. And the fieldhouse is undergoing different phases of renovations over the summer. But these new club areas and the new suites, they look absolutely tremendous. You can visit Bankers Life Fieldhouse. You can't necessarily get in the suites, but you can see what they're talking about. And certainly if you are interested in being a part of the suite program, you can visit Pacers.com and search there for more information on how you can perhaps have a suite for upcoming Pacer seasons, hopefully concerts when they are back, Indiana Fever games as well. By the way, the Indiana Fever, their schedule is hopefully out soon. And if you did not see, they just announced their new jerseys and a really cool launch. Their video is on feverbasketball.com. Follow Indiana Fever on social media. I think they had probably the best jerseys, not probably, definitely the best jerseys of, they announced the Stranger Things themed uniforms. A really cool look for the Indiana Fever coming this year, and a just terrific job by our Indiana Fever digital crew. Feverbasketball.com for more information. We will talk with the television play-by-play announcer of the Memphis Grizzlies. That's who the Pacers play next. Pete Pranica when we return on Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. Welcome back to Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. The Pacers are off today, but they are back in action on Sunday, 8 o'clock here locally. Begin at 7:30 with the Kroger pregame show on the radio, 7:30 on television as well with Jeremiah Johnson. We're joined now by the TV play-by-play announcer for the Grizzlies. Pete Pranica is with us. We appreciate your time this morning, Pete. Hey, it's been a unique year for everyone, but the Grizzlies may have felt the brunt of the COVID-related issues more than anyone in the NBA. Can you kind of give us an idea of what this season has been like? You went through a couple weeks without playing, and as of late, Memphis certainly playing pretty well.
Yeah, Pat, it's been a really strange season. The Grizzlies had six postponements in the first half, and they could only make up one in the first half. So as a result, the Grizzlies scheduled to play 40 games in 68 days with 11 sets of back-to-backs and a seven-game road trip. So it's been, yes, to say unique, that would certainly be the case. But it's a team that has come together very, very well. It is the second youngest team by average age in the NBA. There's nobody on this roster older than 28. But they've managed to coalesce all their talents. And Taylor Jenkins, I probably won't win Coach of the Year. I think Monty Williams is going to be a front runner for that. But Taylor Jenkins certainly deserves a lot of credit for getting this group to play together. Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson are having career years, and John Morant continues to build on his Rookie of the Year season.
Pete Pranica is with us. The Memphis Grizzlies lost their most recent game to New York, Pete, but you've been playing pretty well overall. Where is this team, do you feel like, heading into this stretch run?
Well, I think they're well positioned right now. I mean, currently they're eighth. Jaren Jackson Jr. has not played at all this year. We expect to get him back sometime this month. The integration of him into the lineup will probably be the trickiest thing, and how productive will he be, having missed time since Orlando with a torn meniscus. So that's going to be a challenge for this team. But it is a group that is utterly without ego. You don't have guys looking at stat sheets. You don't have guys talking about minutes or shots or anything like that. And Grayson Allen said it best. He said, "We just have a bunch of hoopers." And that, to me, is why this team has been so good. And they've come to understand that they can't rely on the paint as extensively as they have earlier in the season. You know, the last, you know, four or five games, they've been making healthy double-digit threes, you know, 15 or more. I think they were under 15 last night. But, you know, and that had not been the Grizzlies' trademark. So if they can balance their offense between paint scoring where they lead the league, and three-point shooting where they lag a little bit, they're going to be in good shape, and hopefully if they remain healthy, they'll make a run. Certainly should be in the play-in series if things hold.
Yeah, impressive to have this type of season when you're missing one of your two young stars in Jaren Jackson Jr., which you just noted. The other one, of course, is Ja Morant, and Pacers fans don't get to see him all that often with Memphis being in the Western Conference, but he's one of the impressive young talents in the league. How would you categorize his improvement from year one to year two? Where does he stand right now, Pete?
Well, he has developed. The issue, Pat, is that defenses now know, okay, you're rookie of the year, we're going to try to get the ball out of your hands. And so there have been times where he has struggled, where defenses have been so strongly geared to getting the ball out of his hands. He's done a better job now in responding, in reading situations better. He's top 10 in assists. Scoring is kind of hit or miss, but last night he hit four threes, which he had been shooting 26% from three before last night's game. So, and he does have the ability to just put up a double digit quarter, as he did again last night, as he did the game before against Atlanta. So he is also developing the ability to read the situation, to read the game, to know what his team needs at any moment. Does he need the team to be a setup for him to be a setup man? Do they need him to be a scorer? He can figure it out. And so, maturity, greater strength, his basketball IQ off the charts to begin with, and working very, very closely with Taylor Jenkins, watching a ton of video, trying to figure out ways that he can unlock the defenses that have been geared to stop him.
Television play-by-play announcer for the Memphis Grizzlies, Pete Pranica, is with us. Let's close with a thought on tomorrow night's game, Pacers and Grizzlies. From Memphis's perspective, Pete, what do you see as a key to tomorrow night?
Well, the Grizzlies are going to have to deal with Domantas Sabonis. I mean, that's the biggest thing, because he was a problem for the Grizzlies in the first matchup, and that's going to be big. It's going to be a matchup of great Lithuanian players. Jonas Valanciunas is having a career year, and we have discovered that Dvigobas is Lithuanian for double-double. So feel free to feel free to pepper that in, because Valanciunas has recorded 13 straight double doubles. So we've learned how to say that in Lithuanian just to make sure that we have that covered. But the Grizzlies are going to have to move the ball, make the extra pass, and continue their hot shooting. That to me is going to be the biggest thing. And their defense has been much better. I know they gave up a ton of points to the Knicks last night, but their defense has been much better being on a string. And they'll need to do that, because this is a very, very talented Pacers team that handled the Grizzlies easily when they played at Bankers Life way back when.
Well, as you know, Domantas Sabonis has double-doubles almost every single night, just like Valanciunas. Can we get that one more time? Because I'm not sure I totally caught it. What's the double-double?
Dvigobas.
Very impressive. I appreciate it. We'll certainly be using that going forward on our radio coverage. Pete, we appreciate your time this morning, and have a good call tomorrow night at Pacers and Grizzlies.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me.
That's Pete Pranica, the television play-by-play announcer for the Memphis Grizzlies, giving us some insight on the Pacers' next opponent. When we return a little bit later, we will hear from Jeremiah Johnson. Pacers and Grizzlies coming up on Sunday before a chance to catch the Pacers in person at Bankers Life Fieldhouse against the Clippers on Tuesday. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be there. Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart, continues in a moment. Live on the Circle in downtown Indianapolis, this is Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. I'm Pat Boylan. If you miss any of this show, you can catch it in its podcast form. Just search Pacers Sound wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's iTunes or Spotify or Google Podcasts or SoundCloud. It is everywhere. Pacers Sound hosts this show every single week, and it also hosts the Sideline Guys podcast. That's with Jeremiah Johnson and me. It's a weekly Pacers show during the season. We check in every few weeks during the offseason as well with all of your Pacers conversation. Again, Pacers Sound, wherever you get your podcasts. You can refresh your Pacers look by visiting PacersTeamStore.com. They've got fresh out of the box new launch earned edition jerseys. These are the uniforms that are gold with the navy pinstripes, although it's kind of a modern take on those late 90s, early 2000s jerseys, which, by the way, probably my favorite Pacers jerseys that they have worn over the years. There's a lot of good ones to pick from, the Flojos, but I always really like those gold pinstripes. And these earned edition jerseys are kind of a modern take on that. It's a really cool look. You've probably seen the Pacers wear them a couple of times by now. PacersTeamStore.com. There is a game night special every single night. If you spend $30 or more, you get free shipping. They've got t-shirts, they've got hats, they've got authentic Showtime jackets, jerseys. Anything you could want is available at PacersTeamStore.com. Or if you're at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, you can visit in person at the team store inside the fieldhouse if you're coming to a game, or perhaps in the arena for something else. PacersTeamStore.com, though, is probably the easiest way to do it. You can be in the building for future Pacers games, including as soon as Tuesday. Pacers and LA Clippers, they are 36-18, one of the top teams in the NBA. Should be an interesting one. This game is on TNT, which means the odds start time 7:30. We will begin, if you cannot make it, on the radio coverage at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Television coverage, Bally Sports Indiana with Jeremiah Johnson at 7 o'clock as well, but would love to have you in the building. If you've not made it to the Fieldhouse this year, I think it's worth doing one time. It's obviously not the tremendous experience that a packed Bankers Life Fieldhouse home game is in a normal environment, but our crew does such a good job of ensuring all of the protocols are in place. You'll have to wear your mask throughout the game unless you're actively eating or drinking, but kind of a unique experience, hopefully one that we never have to do again, but nonetheless, I think an experience that you're going to want to try for yourself at least once this year. Catch the Pacers in person if you have not yet. Pacers.com/tickets. That game is on Tuesday, but still plenty more opportunities to catch the Pacers at home, including the 19th against the Spurs, the 21st against the Thunder. The Pistons are here later in the month, the Trailblazers too. Indiana's next game is against Memphis, though. That's on Sunday, and it's on the road. We will begin with coverage at 7:30. It's an 8 o'clock tip locally. When we return, Jeremiah Johnson joins the show. He helps us close things out. He's live on Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart. We are closing out Pacers Weekly presented by PetSmart, but before we do that, Jeremiah Johnson joins us live. I'm not sure if you had a chance to listen earlier in the program, but JJ, I want to make sure I pass along what I feel like is a key bit of information that we just learned. We had Pete Pranica on, who is the television play-by-play announcer, as you know, the Memphis Grizzlies, and they have Jonas Valanciunas, who is Lithuanian, and he shared with us the translation for double-double. I'd have to go back and listen. I don't want to mess it up, but I believe it is Davigubai, Davigubai. So anyway, welcome. I just wanted to share that with you in case you want to use it, because Valanciunas has a lot of double-doubles, and of course, Sabonis does as well. So there you go.
Maybe that's something Chris and Quinn can handle. Davigubai, Davigubai. I mean, I got it once, so... remind me again on Sunday, and I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah, I'm probably going to need to go back and listen to remind myself, because I'll forget between now and then as well. But hey, just want to have your arsenal as locked as you can. Last couple of games, the Pacers have won. They've played better. They've gotten good contribution off their bench. Aaron Holiday has led the team in scoring last couple of games. What stood out to you?
Just a lot of different ways to win, because Saturday and Wednesday in those games against San Antonio and Minnesota, the offense was really good, but you were a little bit concerned with the defense, and you don't want to have to be so successful on the offensive end to win a close game. And so they weren't playing their best offensively. They had to grind it out a little bit against Orlando, but I'm a realist in that's Minnesota and that's Orlando that you played. And so you have to play better than you did, but given where we are in the season and the injuries you've been dealing with, I think you take a win, but you just make sure you're not too satisfied. And that's the one thing that this team has not done a real good job of all season, is putting wins together. Or maybe they have a couple of good games and then they just have a natural letdown. And they play well maybe after they've had a couple of losses. Well, maybe the best thing that they can do is not pretend like they won those last two games or three out of four and go into Memphis angry, because I think the Grizzlies will probably be angry because they lost the game they should have probably won against the Knicks on Friday. Sometimes the mental aspect is as important as the physical aspect, but I do think Aaron Holiday was probably the biggest individual takeaway, because he has played outstanding. He's played the way I think everyone wanted and hoped him to play. He never changes mentally. He doesn't change his approach when you talk to him. It doesn't matter whether he scores 20 points or 2 points. You kind of get the same thing from him. And so maybe that helps him, that he doesn't get down if he has a bad stretch or maybe even doesn't play in a game. He's just the same player. And if the shots start falling early, I think that's important for him. It usually leads to a big night.
Jeremiah Johnson is with us. And as you noted, the Pacers have struggled to put together wins this year. They started the season with three straight wins, and they've had six opportunities since where they've won two in a row where they couldn't get that third. They'll have their seventh opportunity on Sunday night. 7:30 is when the pregame show coverage begins here on radio and on television. You're also starting to get a couple of key guys back, including Malcolm Brogdon and Domantas Sabonis, and those guys are clearly maybe a little bit of rust. JJ, they didn't have huge nights against Orlando, but you have to imagine here if the Pacers are going to accomplish their goals the rest of the year. It's been nice to see what the bench has done lately. It's been key to see what Aaron Holiday has done lately, but really it involves getting these guys back, and of course including Miles Turner in that conversation. He has not yet returned, but just to see Sabonis and Brogdon back on the court, in a lot of ways, to me, it felt like a step in the right direction.
Absolutely, because if you think about the first half of the season, the Pacers really needed to have Sabonis and Brogdon play well, and then they would usually have one other top scorer, and that would be the recipe for success. Well, 7 for 26 was the field goal shooting for those two guys. And so where this team was at any point in the first half of the season, if those guys are 7 for 26, you would say that's maybe not a good chance at a win, but they had contributions from Aaron Holiday and Doug McDermott. And I think that those things were really helpful. And, you know, your first game back after you've been out for a while, Sabonis and Brogdon, they're going to be a little bit rusty. They're going to be a little bit tired. You don't know if their health was 100%, but if you get Miles Turner back and you can actually have some prolonged health for the next few weeks, I do like where this team is. You know, they just have to stay healthy, and that's been easier said than done.
Hey, now that we're a couple of weeks into it, how has this transition mid-season to Valley Sports gone?
Pretty good. I've not said any words that I'm not supposed to through about a week and a half, and I like the graphics, and I think everybody's getting used to just the subtle differences. I mean, if you're watching, you do notice the difference, but once the game starts, I'd like to think that we're doing things kind of the same way. There are going to be more things as this goes along that you're going to see, and you know, there's a lot more emphasis, or there's just innovation maybe, and certainly some new challenges and some new experiments that we're going to try. But early on, we're trying to do the same broadcast with some additional graphic and music enhancements. And so far, so good. I'm happy. And I'm now a new Twitter member. I'm Pacers JJ instead of what I was previously. So I hope everyone can find me there, and hope that was a good choice for a new name.
Hey, I think it was, and it looked like you got to keep your check mark, which I've heard some people, when they've changed their account, they've lost their check mark. Maybe that has changed by Twitter policy, but it looks like everything in that transition has gone well, too.
I will not reveal my secrets, but I had to go through a couple of additional steps to make sure I kept okay. The blue check mark. But yes, I did keep it, so I'm verified still.
Yeah, that was my, I didn't want to bring it up, but that was my worry for you, that you were going to lose your check mark there, which is hard earned. So congratulations on being able to keep
that.
It. Let's look here. We have a little bit over a minute at this game coming up on Sunday. Bally Sports, Indiana. What do the fans have to look forward to on the television pregame show coverage, which begins at 7:30 tomorrow?
Well, maybe we'll discuss double doubles in the Lithuanian way to say double double, right?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, but I'm not going to tell you how to produce your show.
I do think that we probably need to remind people that given the way things are this season, you almost need to tune in to Pacers Live pregame, because injury reports are usually revealed at about the time we go on the air. So for instance, last night, we had a show that was a little bit in flux. We even did our rehearsal, which a little bit behind the curtain is usually about 8 minutes before the show starts, or we just run through maybe the first couple of minutes just to kind of, it's kind of like a warm-up lap for us. And even at that point, we did not know whether Domantas Sabonis or Malcolm Brogdon are going to play. The credits or the opening montage was started when we got the text with the information. So we had to adjust a little bit on the fly. So I know on TV is usually not where you find news first, and Twitter is usually the place for that. But I think really, if there's a player that's questionable, and maybe Miles Turner's questionable, you might just need to tune in at exactly 7:30 to find out whether he's going to play. And then from that point on, we'll adjust and tell you the starting lineups and some of the keys. And John Morant will, of course, be a big topic of discussion tomorrow night on Pacers Live pregame.
He's Jeremiah Johnson. You can catch him at 7:30, Bally Sports Indiana, tomorrow night, Pacers and Grizzlies. As always, we appreciate your participation here on Saturday mornings.
Pat, great job on the radio the last couple games, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. And Mark Boyle will be taking back over the microphone on Sunday on the radio side, Pacers and Grizzlies. We begin at 7:30 on radio. They begin at 7:30 on TV. 30 minutes before every single game, you can catch your Pacers pregame show coverage if you're out and about in the car on the radio, if you're at home on television on Bally Sports Indiana. The Pacers have a stretch right now of 5 of 6 on the road. Pacers.com/tickets is how you can be in the building for Tuesday night's lone home game against the Clippers. Thanks to our producer, Eddie Garrison. I'm Pat Boylan. That'll wrap it up for Pacers Weekly, presented by PetSmart.